Good evening. This is James Renford Powell. This is the Laws of Material Wealth Personal Development Program. It's a pleasure to have you with us again. As you know, this series of shows began with the 54 weeks of support material and the shows on that support material in support of the Laws of Material Wealth book, the four DVDs, the workbook with five exercises per chapter. All making up this very comprehensive program of personal development. The Laws of Material Wealth, we dealt with the 13 universal principles of success, which in fact are really 13 spiritual principles. Just like when you read Think and Grow Rich and you think it's all about money, these are very definitely 13 universal principles that he was expressing, even though he was bringing his experiences and illustrations from the titans of American industry. All of you who would like to, if you've got somebody that would like to listen to the show, but they're not online, they're traveling or whatever, they can call in on 347-838-9142. That's 347-838-9142. If you would like to ask a question, even if you are listening on the internet, if you want to ask a question, you dial that same number, 347-838-9142. Press the 1 button on your touchtone dial, and that'll flag our moderator or myself, depending on what the situation is, to bring you in for your question. Rhonda Harrison from out in Greeley, Colorado, is our moderator. She's also the host of the Searcher's Roadmap show, the oldest of our shows, and is a kingpin or a queenpin behind the scenes with a lot of what we're doing with Blog Talk Radio. As you know, we have currently 11 shows. Two are being prepared to start. We have hosts in New York, Boston, Denver, Seattle, the Netherlands, Little Rock, and Memphis, Tennessee. All different genres, but you can check these out for yourself by going to blogtalkradio.com. That's B-L-O-G-T-A-L-K, blogtalkradio.com/Renford, R-E-N-F-O-R-D. And you can go to the archives. There's close to 5 years of shows in the archives there, and you're welcome to go check out any of the shows. And, of course, if you would like to talk about any of them, you can email me, iamrenford, I-A-M-R-E-N-F-O-R-D, at gmail.com, tell us what you think about things. My guest tonight is Super Duper Stan. Super Duper Stan is going to talk. This is actually Stan Comer. He's a retired school teacher who has developed some programs for students and adults achieving victory as entrepreneurs. He's got some ideas that I think would be of some interest to those of you who have completed the first level of study with the Institute of Applied Metaphysics or who have studied the Laws of Material Wealth Personal Development Program. And we will get to Stan, and I'll give you a little bit more details about him in a few moments after we finish the Renford Revelations moment. This is the blog that I've been covering for you for the last 7 weeks and that you can go look at in more detail and respond to by going to iam-cor.org. That's iam-cor.org. /blog, B-L-O-G, And you can go back and review all of the Renford Revelations as they were delivered then. Of course, you can listen to them by going to the archives and picking up the last 7 weeks of shows as well. Last week, we talked a little bit about Revelation and the fearmongers talking about 2012 and so forth and so on. And tonight's blog is entitled The Apocalypse of the Human Experience. In my article, Revelation, Fear, and 2012 that we covered last week, I noted that the word apocalypse has been twisted by a lack of understanding of the book of Revelation to mean catastrophic. The word apocalypse means specifically revelation. The apocalypse of John meant the revelation of the mysteries of Jesus to John, and is told in highly allegorical and symbolical and metaphoric terms. It is really about the process of moving from fear-based feeling to love-based living. It is about the process of transformation from relative conscious thought to higher thought. There's no room in an article of this size to go into the book of Revelation in much detail. However, if this is something of interest to you, you can discover the real meaning of the mystery in the book, The Mysteries Revealed. That's available in the bookstore of the same at the website I mentioned, iam-core.org, and then just go to the bookstore and you can read about The Mysteries Revealed. The way we individually create our lives is with the vision we hold. It is our thinking that is most important. If I have any concern for the earth and mankind as a whole, it is that the fearmongers and the catastrophic end of the world buffs will become predominant. Underlying our stability is the common man's optimism. It is the attitude that things can and will get better, and that underwrites the future. There is legitimate concern that the population explosion will completely inundate mankind and that everything will come to a grinding halt in one catastrophe or another. However, there is only need for concern if that increased population is no longer thinks constructively. The way we envision a future with a sustainable population depends almost entirely upon how we expect to arrive at the day we have less population. All right. Will it be due to war, the modern-day equivalent of the plague, starvation, or by the execution of a well-designed humanitarian plan? If we arrive at this world population decrease through planning, did we do so through coercion, punitive action, and government controls? This would be the way of disaster and would make the catastrophic visions of the future a likely reality. If we employ the proper tools of education, a clear perspective, individual responsibility, and motivation based upon understanding, the results would be quite different. It has been projected by Gotte Ehrensvärd, which is a Scandinavian scientist, that this depopulation or population crash will occur between 2020 and 2050, and that possibly more than 7 million people will die off. Roberta Vaca paints a picture of a society after this population crash. He says the results will be a breakup of the large systems into many small, independent, and self-sufficient subsystems. This is a sad image of violence, a sort of world made up of monastic-type centers located in mountainous areas with the physical remnants of our 20th century civilization becoming the ruins of future generations. It is a dark ages of the 21st century, lawless and lost. This is being projected, and this type of thing is being projected constantly. Edward Cornish speculates, if civilization actually does collapse, it might never revive. He bases this view on the premise that earlier generations had natural resources to build upon, where future generations after a collapse would have little or none. In his view, it will then have been the legacy of the 20th century man that he used up the resources of his world. Now, this is the constant theme of so many of lack, shortages, a complete reversal of the universal law of abundance. I believe, as Sartre, that man is a creator. He has created the past, the present, and will create his future. I am not simply an existentialist like Sartre, because I base my opinion on the study of the universal laws found in the teachings of the great masters such as Jesus, Buddha, and Lao Tzu. When the doctrines and dogmas of the disciples that followed them are stripped away, it is possible to discern at least 13 universal laws, and all natural laws are aspects or reflections of the universal laws. One would have to study a number of the ancient writings to glean details of each of these laws, but those pertinent to my view are expressed in these pages. Cause and effect is an aspect of these laws and can be found as it expressed in all kinds of natural laws. The law of pure potentiality, this is a universal law, constructive thought or mental law, applies specifically to the creative nature of man, creates constructively and destructively, depending upon where the thinking is fear-based or love-based. The essence of this law is that man, a spark of universal being, is a creator as well. Nothing has ever been created without there first being thought. Many worthy thinkers of the past down to the present note that the only difference between man's thought and a physical reality is time and action on the part of man. Man wants answers to his problems. He wants to see solutions, and for only so long will he put up with excuses and ineffectiveness. He has come too far and will be unwilling to return to the mire. The law of evolution and unfoldment states that the soul retains only understood past experiences. On an individual basis, I've never wished to live one day over again. I do not want to learn old lessons again. This would be comparable to having to repeat a grade in school. You repeat it only if you did not understand its lessons. Though I might want to prolong or experience happy days of the past, I am totally unwilling to experience the same lessons of life again. We learn more from our mistakes than from our victories, and those mistakes are rarely pleasant. Whether we have to experience them again is dependent upon whether or not we understood the lesson. We are constantly making organizational adjustments as governments and businesses and whatever, and positioning ourselves to meet the future. We create new laws and do away with old ones, even though it does seem we create new ones in greater volume than we discard old ones. This is a part of the evolution and unfoldment of man's thinking. I believe we will be in the position to continue man's creation as a constructive manner. Should this vision be correct, there will be no retreat into the dark ages. Excluding a sudden sinking of the spirit of man into the depths of despair due to religious fanaticism about the end of the world or a major catastrophic natural event, the only other doom and gloom possibility is alien intervention. Since I believe this has and is occurring anyway, I do not believe they hold the destiny of man in the palm of their hands. In fact, they must let man decide his own destiny. I believe there is heavy restraint on their power and would have already been exercised. Toynbee wrote, "Civilizations begin not in conditions of lotus-eating ease, as some theorists have imagined. Rather, they arise from the stimulation of extreme challenge, followed by successful response." Didsbury quoted Toynbee as saying that he was certain that the West world leadership is passing away, but he refused to declare the culture's conclusion foregone. While Western civilization is in no way immune to the fate of every previous high culture, it still can rise to meet the challenge of the present with a successful response, and in doing so, come back to vibrant life. In Asimov's book, Foundation, Cornish says of man, he embodies the theme that if utopia ever comes, it will not be through an altered environment, but through altered minds and attitudes of men. This is the same theme I maintain in all my writings concerning the universal laws. I do not consider my thinking to be based upon a utopian or cornucopian view of the world. I think man will always have many problems with which to grapple, or there would be no need for his physical existence. I am optimistic mainly because I think man is special and has a specific purpose for being in the scheme of things, or there would be no civilization of mankind. There would be no reason for us to be here. Anyway, that's my thoughts for the day. That's the Renford Revelation. for this evening on the Laws of Material Wealth Personal Development Program. Now I'd like to get to my guest, Stanley Comer, otherwise known as Super Duper Stan. Stan is a retired school teacher, art teacher. He has created a program called SAVE, S-A-V-E, SAVE, Students and Adults Achieving Victory as Entrepreneurs. And I think this is very apropos to the Laws of Material Wealth Personal Development Program, and I think it's something that many of you might like to know more about and see if you could have a chapter in your city. And we will go into some detail on SAVE. His primary entrepreneurial activity has to do with Paycation. He's an international executive with Paycation. Welcome to the show, Stan.
Well, hello, Brother Renford. How are you today?
Well, I'm just blowing and going.
Good enough. We got to keep doing it.
That's right. We have to keep moving ahead. There's no stopping. Won't you tell us a little bit? I think our Laws of Material Wealth listeners would be very interested in knowing more about SAVE, because I've been looking at different programs here. We've got a Heal the Hood. You know, there's been a lot of activity, especially after some of the events as in Ferguson and New York, in our communities, about what we can do. And it occurred to me about that time that I was reading your material, and you can go and check out the material at www.saave.info and get more information on it. But let's hear it from the founder of the organization, Super Duper Dan.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate the opportunity, first of all, to just have an invitation to be on your show. And when you were doing your talk there, I tell you, hit a strong nerve when you mentioned the Think and Grow Rich material, because I listened to it's a talk show. We call it a mastermind show every morning, Monday through Friday. It's called the Think and Grow Rich talk show. I mean, it's very, very powerful show. I can give that out a little bit later on. But to get to SAVE and talk a little bit about SAVE and Paycation and how the two work together, I probably need to go back first and just give our audience here a little bit of understanding of where I come from and who I am and how all this fits into the scheme of things, because I was just an average anybody that was born and raised on a tobacco farm in southern North Carolina. But I was raised on that tobacco farm, taught how to work very, very hard. So I came up in a little poverty. But I heard the teachers and my parents telling me that the way to become financially independent, or the way to success, they would use is to go to school, get a good education, and get a good job. And so I knew I didn't want to work on that farm all of my life. So when I heard that, I said, okay, there's my ticket out of this situation. And so that's why I pursued my education with intensity, did very well in school, went to North Carolina Central and got a bachelor's degree, and furthered that to UNC Greensboro and got a master's degree. And at the time that I terminal degree, I couldn't get any higher degree in my field. So when I finally got out of school and finally landed my first job, actually was in a prison and teaching art. That was my very first job in my profession, teaching art in a prison. Actually, that was a great experience because the young men that was incarcerated really, really wanted to, paint, draw, et cetera. It was just a great environment for me to teach there, but that played out my first year of teaching, and so I worked at the camp for about 8 more years. And then finally a position came open in the public school system within Halifax County for me to teach art. But when I got my first paycheck there, when I started teaching in my profession at that prison, when I got my first paycheck, keep in mind now that I had been, you might say, brainwashed and told that if I go to school, get a good education, I'm going to get a good job. So when I got that first paycheck and I looked at the amount on it, I have big dreams and things that, and I said, wait a minute, this is not what I was anticipating. So to say the least, that was the thing that sort of woke me up and made me realize that, you know, what is a good job? You know, and I know there are some people who are making pretty decent income on different jobs, but the thing that I started thinking about was that they, you know, when we look around at most people who work jobs, they're still working from paycheck to paycheck, and if anything happens and interrupts that job or interrupts that income, it's going to start sending them down Skid Row. So that's when I started saying to myself, hey, I need to find something else. Even though I got a master's degree, I need to find something else. So I started praying. And I started praying, and it took about a month before a total stranger. And see, whenever you're praying for something, we have to always be aware of what it is that we're looking for, because we never know how it's going to come. But a total stranger came up to me in a parking lot one day and told me that he was expanding his business in the area that I was in here in Halifax County, and he was looking for a few sharp-minded people that might be interested in adding to their income. And when he said that, of course, it rung my bell, and I raised my hand and said, yes, I do, you know. So that got me started in the industry and, you know, made some money, lost some money, but I learned a heck of a lot. When I came out of college, I didn't even, and you know, I'm not even ashamed to say it, I didn't know what residual income was. And when that gentleman told me that residual income was when you do something one time and you do it right and it starts income coming to you, it can get to a point where you can take your hands off of it and the income keeps on coming, that just blew my mind, because I had never heard of anything like that. And then if you don't go to next week, you don't get paid. No, I love the sound of residual income, so I made it a mission of mine to start searching and looking for residual income. So that was one reason that got me rolling in this direction. And, you know, I feel like God prepares, well, he prepares you for what he sends you here for, and when listening to what you are talking about, I'm a very strong advocate of personal and self-development. And when God sends us here, he also have a mission for us, but we have to find it. And one little thing that I didn't say in my introduction of myself that I think has a little importance for me to mention, when I was born, I was a premature child. And my parents tell me that they didn't even name me before I left the hospital because the doctors had told them I wasn't going to make it. So I wasn't even given a name before I left the hospital, but Mom told me that they took me home and gave me TLC, tender love and care, and of course I pulled through it. I had to stay in the incubator for a certain length of time, but when they took me home, I pulled through it, and from that knowledge that they shared with me, I felt and knew right then that God sent me here for a purpose. And it took all these years. He prepared me with going to school and prepared me, you know, and gave me a heart to be concerned about our youth and teaching. And then he also prepared me after I, you know, got that degree. He has preparation, the idea of SAVE, which is Students and Adults Achieving Victory as Entrepreneurs. The idea of SAVE came into my mind, and that became an obsession or drive or whatever you want to call it, that I had to really get this out. And it pondered me for years, several years, until I just couldn't avoid it. I just had to do something. Because I look at so many of our youth, and see, I was in the school system, and I was teaching, go to school, get a good education. But any of my kids that my former students would tell you that I was always trying to encourage them with self-development and personal development. I would have my little words of wisdom phrases on the board each week that I would give extra credit. And for those of you who know Les Brown, and if by any chance anybody on the planet that don't know Les Brown, by all means, go to YouTube and do a little search there, Les Brown, and start listening to some of his videos. But Les Brown really impacted my life early in life, because once I got started in the entrepreneurial business, I went to an event up in Washington, D.C., and got a chance to meet Les Brown personally, even though I didn't know who he was at first. But after that night when he spoke, I had no doubt about knowing who he was. And he became a part of my class, because I used to teach that Friday was Les Day in my class in high school, and we would have to listen to it, come up, write down at least 10 words of wisdom, phrases, etc., and I would grade them for it. You know, so that was a major part of the makeup. But when I look at students today, and they're going through the motion that we send them, and we're the one responsible, why not train our kids to go to school, get a good education so that you can come out and start your own business? Why not put that in their head? And it really shocked me one night. I was doing a presentation, and I was right at the point where I was about to, you know, talk about going to school, getting a good education, getting a good job. And this young lady walks in with two little boys. One was 6 and one was 9. And so I told the audience, I said, well, I tell you what, before I explain this, let me just ask our guest that just come in. And I started off and I asked the young one, I said, and his name, like I said, he was 6. I don't remember his name, but I said, would you say that it is important to go to school and get a good education? He said, yes. And I said, why? And the little 6-year older said, to get a job. And I said, oh, my God. I did a Fred Sanford there. And I said, oh, my God, 6 years old. That's why, you know, that's part of the roots of SAVE, because I said, we have to. And I put it on the backs and shoulders of the adults now, those who are 50, 60 years older and more. We know the path of working a job, because those of us who've been working for 20, 30, 40 years, we know. And I always tell people, I said, if you want to look and see what your future might look like working a job, look at the people that are retiring now, okay? And then you'll sort of see yourself in the future. Because I have not seen anyone yet that, you know, work just a job and don't do nothing else extra who is financially independent. So it's important that we start teaching our youth about entrepreneurship, and that's what SAVE is going to do.
Did you get any training at all in college on business or entrepreneurship?
None at all.
None at
all. Because I only, you know, I just had the training of art, so I didn't have no business training. But,
and it all began with that one person that you met.
It all began with that one person. And, of course, I was ripe, you might want to say, for something, because I had been praying for it, because I realized that just getting my education, that was not a good job because the income was not there. And me, that started me. And I've been to countless number of self-development sessions and seminars and so forth, read I don't know how many books. I mean, I have a long book list, and when you mention Think and Grow Rich, it really, really touched my nerve. I've read that. Matter of fact, we are going through it now for about, with this particular show, and if I may, I'm going to give out that phone number, because it is open to the public and anyone, and it's a powerful, powerful platform of masterminding.
In the 54-week program with the Laws of Material Wealth, we spent 3 weeks on Think and Grow Rich, because in the book he mentions on numerous occasions that there are 13 principles. He stresses 4 or 5. He especially stresses persistence, but where he doesn't stress the others that make up the total of 13, he does cover them, but they're just a little bit more circumspect. So we took about 3 weeks of covering that, which you can get from the archives. You can find the week which is an eye-opener about that book. A lot of people have read the book. I've heard Bob Proctor talk about reading it like a Bible and so forth and carrying it with him all the time. But if you don't understand the connection of each one of the 13 principles to the other that he's talking about, you don't get the full power of the ones that you do understand. In other words, they are all part of one principle, the law of creation. And so I would invite listeners to go back to blogtalkradio.com/Renford, and you can follow week 1, week 2, week 3, all the way through week 54 of the Laws of Material Wealth Support Progress System, and you can find those three shows that dealt specifically with Think and Grow Rich. He tells the story of how he gets everything from the titans of American industry, but really there's some information coming in there from Wallace Wattles and The Science of Getting Rich, and it's a very beneficial book to read, but always be looking for his comments about all 13 of the principles.
You know, what you just mentioned there, that book by Wallace Wallace, The Science of Getting Rich, is also another book that we cover on this Think and Grow Rich show.
Right.
Even before him,
there was The Hidden Power by Thomas Troward that both of them referred to. And, of course, if you in this support material, if you go back and look at it, you'll see we have what Ralph Waldo Emerson said about each one of the 13 principles and what James Allen said about each. And, in fact, we took a couple of weeks and looked at what Jesus said about each, because all of them were specific in their explanation and illustration of all 13. Yet you don't hear that talked about much in pulpits or in other business classes. It really simplifies things if we can identify and verify each one of those principles from our own life experiences. How did this bring you to your retirement income and your primary business, which I think is Paycation?
That is correct.
Tell us
after,
about it.
After teaching for 18 years, of course, I found out about Paycation. Actually, it was the 17th of December in 06 when I found out about this. And, of course, at the very, very beginning, it was called Traveras, but they eventually changed the name about a year and a half or so ago to Paycation. But it's the same company, same management, et cetera. But when I found out about it and I got started with it, I was ready, because I saw what was happening in the school system at the time, and the system was beginning to give more power to the kids than they were giving to the teachers and the parents. So being the age that I am, I said, hey, I got to find something else, because there was too much disrespect going on in the classroom and at the school system. So I was hungry, to say the least. Like Les Brown said, you got to be hungry. I was hungry. And when I saw it, my very first week, I generated more income than I made teaching full time. But that was bonus commissions. But what I was really looking for was a strong residual program. And, of course, in my first 6 months, I saw my residual income growing, growing, growing. And it took 6 months for my residual income to surpass my teacher's income. So whether I got out of bed or not, so when that happened, it was in June. I'll never forget it, because I had just went to Philadelphia to the founder of the company. Mr. David Manning, he's out of Texas, was going to be coming to Philadelphia. And myself, my wife, and another couple, we went to Philadelphia and got a chance to meet him. I sat down that morning, the next morning for breakfast, and just asked him questions after questions for about an hour and a half. To say the least, I felt very, very good about where I was and what I was a part of. And when I got home from that, on that 15th of the month, that's when I got that first residual paycheck that had surpassed my teacher's income. And I remember throwing my hands up saying, God, is this it? Because I was so excited about it. And I went down to the county office, put in my name for retirement. And, of course, I got the, you know, the, you sure that's what you want to do, from family and friends and other people saying, I wouldn't do that, whatever. But I was ready to come out. And so I came out about 3 years early, and that was 8 going on 9 years ago, and I wouldn't regret it, but I don't regret it for a moment, because I've enjoyed these 8 going on 9 years, and the places that I've been able to go and stuff, I never would have been able to do off of just
now Stan, is Paycation got to do with travel business?
Yes, Paycation is a travel business. And it's called Paycation Travel. And the name sort of gives it away when we tell people. See, most people, a lot of people are taking vacations, but they don't get paid to. But with Paycation, once we teach you with Paycation, we'll show you how, if you're going to go on vacation anyway, why not learn how you can get paid to do it? And another thing that really blows a lot of folks' mind when they finally find out, when you go on a personal vacation, let's say you and your family, you go wherever you want to go, well, that expense is just gone. But you see, when you become a part of Paycation as an independent associate, now when you go somewhere, wherever you go, because you're in the travel industry, which is, by the way, is the number one industry for maximizing your tax deductions, and I'm not saying that that's what a top-notch tax consultant told us. So when you go somewhere, you can justify now that, hey, I want to go see how it is for myself so that I can better refer clients to wherever it is that you're going. And so now it's a 100% write-off.
All kinds of discounts for people in the travel business, aren't there?
Oh, man, yes. I mean, a lot of them. When you become a certified travel consultant or certified travel agent, some folks call it, a lot of perks open up to you. I mean, just to give you one little quick thing that we call fam trips. When you become a member or certified travel agent, you see these resorts and places, they want you to come because they know that you're the one that's going to be talking about their resorts or whatever, cruises or whatever. So they will invite you to come at steal prices. For example, my wife and I, when we first got started several years ago, we got invited to come to Sandals for a 3-day, 2-night stay. They sent a jet to Raleigh-Durham to pick us up and took us there, wine and dined us, toured the properties, and then we had the last day we had a big old party on the beach there in Turks and Caicos, and all of what I just mentioned was only $99 per person. You know, so many perks.
And have you been able to go to a lot of different places to see the same, you know, see where you're sending people?
Yes, we've been to a lot of different places. I just got back in October from Mexico, and while we were there, we toured about 4 or 5 different resorts while we were there in that little while. We've been to a number of places in Mexico. Mexico has some beautiful, beautiful 4- and 5-star resorts. We've been on numerous cruises, even to the world's largest cruise ship, the Allure of the Seas. It's just been a beautiful ride, and I'm still hanging on, looking forward to going to a lot of more.
Now, how do you bring this to bear in support of your crusade that you've kicked off now, the SAAVE program?
I'm so glad you asked that one, because my view and understanding, well, I've looked at a lot of, and I see a lot of different programs that are designed to reach out and help our youth in one way or the other, whether it's tutorials, whether it's, you know, advice of this or that or whatever. I've seen a lot of different programs, but I haven't seen too many that will help them start their own business. And with the vision that I have with SAVE, it is a very extensive vision. So my vision is to take this thing, I heard you mention at the beginning, to have a chapter in their city. So, and definitely, I'm looking for people that have a passion for our youth, especially in every city in the U.S. or all abroad, because I want this thing to spread wherever there are youth. And the way Paycation ties in with SAVE, as we reach out here and educate adults and our youth, and that's why I put "and adults" in there, because I firmly believe that if we just talk to our youth, parents send the youth somewhere, and we talk to them, when we send them back home, the parents are going to corrupt their minds again because they don't understand. But if we can get the parents to pull together with our youth and come in and sit down, and we and I can talk and we can educate them all, then now when the kids go home, the parents can reinforce what we've taught. And when that child gets of age, of course, we're going to always be sharing with the parents to where they can get started in their own business, of course, Paycation. What better way to educate your child than to show them? So if the parents can show them, then when the kids get to where they're of age to where they can get started, now that they've already been trained and see the vision of being an entrepreneur, now we can get them started. And when they start earning income, they will see right away the value of, hey, this is incredible, because now they can start earning some incredible income, and they don't have to be worrying about being in the drug rings and stuff, looking over their shoulders and worrying about going to prison, et cetera, because they want to generate some major income.
Now, and in the SAVE, in the young people who join or come in, get involved in SAVE, what's the age bracket there usually?
Well, the age bracket really and truly, I always say that any child that's old enough to sit, listen, and pay attention, I want them to start sitting, listening, and paying attention so they can start getting educated.
So you start them in classes, but then you move pretty quickly into reality, into active participation in some way, right?
The ones that are 17 and above, because kids now that are in high school that are 17 can get work permits and all that stuff, and I asked my tax consultant, could they start their own business? And he told me, yeah, if they can get a work permit, they can start their own business. So that's the age group that we're looking to target to go ahead and start getting in motion, because there are some young people now who have already getting started with Paycation at 18 years old and a little above, that's making some serious income. And chances are those youth will never have to worry about working a job. Because
now, do any of these young people come in already with a business idea that want your assistance in developing it?
Well, some of them will, and that's one of the parts or facets of SAVE that we're going to be doing, because I'm going to be, of course, soliciting all kinds of business professionals or whatever to rally with me in terms of coming to the table, helping get the idea across of entrepreneurship and bringing their expertise to the table, because you might have, and I'm sure you will have, a number of youth that might want to be in whatever it is that you're doing or might want to do what you're doing. So you'll be able to mentor and sort of give that young person a very good bird's eye view of what it all entails and it involves. So that's also part of the whole SAVE program that we plan to.
So you're actually looking for entrepreneurs from a wide variety type of business that want to mentor these the people coming, young people coming into the program?
Exactly. And
how do
also,
they get get information from you, and how do they get started? What's the process?
Well, there were two things with the SAVE movement. Of course, you mentioned earlier, go to SAVE, S-A-A-V-E, .info, and when you go to that, there's a brief little message there. You read that, and then you put in your information, submit it, and you'll get put on what I call my SAVE list. And, you know, we can stay in contact through that, and I'll be getting in contact with you.
So now, this is a relatively new organization that you formed. Is it a nonprofit or for profit?
It is. It's not a nonprofit, but it's a relatively new movement that I'm calling it. It's a crusade that we're looking to take across the world. But you know, whoever be a part of it, you know, we're going to be doing a lot of great things. There's so much stuff that I can't even mention all of it here, but a lot of training, a lot of education, and a lot of assistance that we plan to help with our youth so that they can get started in the entrepreneurial world.
We have had on this show Darren Calhoun and some of the people involved with an organization in Memphis called Building More Wealth, BMW. Kind of cute name there. But
right.
There some tremendous classes. I've taken the time to go to some of the classes. One I went to the other last week or so, that I, in all my years in business, I had never actually been to a class on credit. I didn't really have any clue about how the credit rating companies work. And I didn't realize there were only three. And I didn't realize what I did that pushed it up, my rating up, or pushed it down. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Right, no thanks.
And that was an eye-opener for me. I don't know why. I've been in business a long time, but I just never had I had never paid any real attention to this process. And they've had some really exceptional classes on nonprofits, how to set a nonprofit up. One I've been to was on just on sales techniques, basic
mm-hmm.
sales techniques that I can remember experiencing when I got my first job in the securities business, working with a Hong Kong-based investment company that actually sold securities, mutual funds, and so forth to American civilians under contract in Vietnam. I did that part of the time that I was there. But there were people in that organization who were really professional salespeople. And you have no idea, you know, if you've not been through it, what that actual sales process is about. So there are some very good classes from the BMW, and I would like to put you in touch with them, because I think some of those things would be things that could be used in SAVE.
Absolutely.
Is there a we have a few minutes left. Is there a message that you would like to bring? I'd like to just kind of turn things over to you for a little bit here for a few minutes about where you're going with this and what kind of help you need. Tell the folks about what you want.
All right. Thank you so much. And before it slipped my mind and time runs out, let me give everyone the contact information for the paycation side of what we're doing. Anyone that's interested in finding out more information about paycation, you can go to superduperenterprise.com, and that is S-U-P as in Paul, E-R, D as in David, O-O, P as in Paul, E-R, Enterprise, ENTERPRISE.com. You can go to that site, and that will put you in place there to get more information. And you can also, anyone who wants to call, you can just simply call the 800 number here, 800-903-0185, and that will send me a, that will leave a voice message, and I will get it and get back in touch with everyone. But
now, how'd you get that name, Super Duper?
Well, that's a long story. With matter of fact, after hearing Les Brown so long and his positiveness, I became very, very, very positive. And when people ask me, how you doing? I say, I'm doing super duper. And I started saying it and saying it. So after a while, folks started calling me super duper.
Super duper.
And, yep, so I just fell in love with super duper. And I do a lot of writing poetry as well. And, I mean, it's just so much stuff that I do that I'm also trying to get across to our youth. I have a poetry website up, 360D, which is 360D.com, for anybody who's interested in poetry and so forth. It's just so much stuff that I want to give back and basically wake up our youth. And you mentioned my message. My message is basically self-development and entrepreneurship, because God has given each one of us a powerful, powerful mechanism on our head, in our head, on our neck, which is our head, and is in our head, the brain. I mean, it's just so powerful, but we got to develop it. We got to develop ourselves, and that's why my poetry, I have a lot of different poetry, but the most dominant one is inspirational poetry. And by all means, what we need to do is get this out to our youth with the SAVE program, having the entrepreneurial background with Paycation. I need anyone who is concerned about their future, our youth, and I'm going to be looking for ministers. Because my belief is that, because I was raised and brought up in a religious background, the church is really the backbone of our community. You know, some may agree, some may not, but I believe it is. And if we can get our ministers to see the importance, of course, the minister is supposed to be concerned about their flock and looking after their flock. Well, that's a very important part of their flock, is to be able to be financially well off, so they won't have to be going through all of the poverty-stricken experiences.
Yeah, if you have a program that's structured, you know, where the churches can have a community outreach program, there's something specific they can do. I think that would be your primary source, and it's one I would like to introduce to my church and make available for people. I mean, there has to be it has to be something they can see the process. But mm-hmm. I'm sure that you're working on that if you haven't already got there.
Yes, I'm definitely already have it. Basically, on that website, they'll see pretty much an outline of a lot of stuff that I'm going to be covering. And, of course, what I'll be doing and looking to find others in other cities to empower them to do is to go to these churches, go to these youth programs or youth organizations, go to wherever we can go, and educate and explain what SAVE is all about. And, you know, because it's going to be more powerful. But then I'm going to also be doing some online presentations. Right now what I'm doing is building the SAVE Crusaders list. And when I get to a certain point here, which I'm looking at a benchmark of 1,000 SAVE Crusaders on that list, then I'm going to start doing online presentations, because that's one way I can reach across the world. But then anyone who will invite me to come wherever, you know, I'm willing to, we get together and come, and it'll be a whole lot more dynamic or whatever you might say.
Now,
in
you're
person.
You're already multi-state, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. I'm already in different states right now. But I'm like I said, I'm trying to build that list to that 1,000. of which I'm building it to that 1,000. And once it gets there, then we're going to kick off, you know, the online presentations, and I'll be anybody that's willing to invite me to wherever they are to talk to their group. And I definitely want parents involved with the youth.
So any entrepreneur, anybody that's got any kind of business that would like to mentor or share that with young people coming in to save who are, let's say that one is oriented toward art like you were when you were younger, and a commercial artist is prepared to mentor people who would like to do that sort of thing, then you make that connection.
Yeah, we'll make that connection with them. And as we get more volunteers or more folks to work with us, I mean, we can do more and more and more things. Because, I mean, the vision is to, a lot of the stuff that you just mentioned with the BMW, we are headed that direction. If it's just down to simple, helping a young man learn how to tie a necktie. It's just so much stuff that the youth need that is being lost somewhere that we want to pull back as we get other people to step in and support, because I can't do it all. That's why I realized that very early on. That's why I'm looking for people all over. And if I find people, when I find people in different cities that are passionate about our youth, who understands what we're trying to do, you know, I'll be definitely empowering them with the information, et cetera, to do the same as I'm doing, so that it won't be just dependent on me, because I want this to move on and go on after I'm gone.
Let's go back over again the your contact for people who may be looking for another some type of business opportunity. If they want to know more about Paycation, how do they find that information from and connect up with you?
For Paycation, they would simply go to superduperenterprise.com. That's SUPERDOOPERENTERPRISE.com. Superduper Enterprise. You can always call my 800 number, which is 800-903-0185, and leave a message, and I'll definitely get back with you.
And also for SAVE, how do they get that?
And for SAVE as well, they can go to that 800, the same 800 number, and leave a message that they're interested in learning more about SAVE when they leave that message, or they can go to SAVE, S-A-A-V as in Victor, E, .info, I-N-F-O, and when you fill in and register that little information there, it'll send me a notification that you're there. And my website will come up, and on my website, you'll be able to see my contact information and simply call me or email me or whatever.
Well, I want to thank you, Stan, super duper Stan, for being with us on The Laws of Material Wealth tonight. It was a pleasure having you, and hopefully we can make some connections for you in the business community, and I look forward to talking with you some more. For those of you who are not familiar with the Laws of Material Wealth Personal Development Program, go to Blog Talk Radio, BLOGTALK, radio.com/Renford, and go to the archives. You can go all the way back and